Welcome to the Lax Worm and Coach Bear Show, your lacrosse odyssey for news, stories, and special guests. So sit back, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
All righty, righty, righty. And here we are, Lax Worm and Coach Bear Show. And on the phones with us, the one, the only, Will Manny. Will, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No worries. You know, listen, we like to have folks on that tick Bear off. So I'm going to throw that in your lap just to start with. So if you can get under his skin, it's fun.
I love that.
Yeah, that's basically how this show is all set up. Well, the show is basically Mike spends his Friday mornings trying to get guests on here to stir the pot. That's what he does.
You know I'm not that type of guy, Bear. I just kind of like to put the ball in the goal and then go home and do it again the next weekend. I don't do that other stuff.
Here we go.
I like that.
So Will, you know, we actually Grant is going to be on the second half of the show. We actually pre-recorded him, so we chatted with him a little bit. But I was talking to him about the draft and the Archers. What are your thoughts about your new teammates?
Yeah, I think it's hard to hate. You know, I think we filled the, I'm not going to say holes, because I think we have a really good team. I just think we got better in certain areas. You know, starting with the expansion draft, you know, getting a guy like Ryan McNamara and Graham Hossick and Warren Jeffrey, you know, we needed some more depth at defense and some more size, and we got, you know, two big lefties, and we needed a righty kind of slasher in the midfield, you know, give us more athleticism. And Ryan Mack, you know, he's been under the radar. When we drafted him, that was with Marcus, and I was just like, every time I play this kid, he scores three goals on us, you know, and he could beat short sticks with two hands and gets to the goal. Coach did a really good job in the expansion draft there. And then the college draft, you know, we actually got two of the guys that I really wanted. And that was Trey LeClaire and Jeff Traynor. You know, Jared Connors is an absolute monster. Our Utah team played against him a couple of weeks ago, and seeing him play in person and how big he is and how much ground he covers, you know, he's very similar to Mike Earhart. So he'll have a great career, and learning from Scott Ratliff at the LSM for the Archers is going to be awesome. And, you know, then Trey and Jeff are 6'1", 200-plus pound middies that can potentially go two ways and give us range and are absolute beasts. So that was great. And then Connor Gaffney, you know, we needed depth at faceoff after losing Brendan to the Cannons. And, you know, I've followed him and have seen Lehigh over the past couple of years, and he had a great year last year, and, you know, nothing's changed there. I'm sure he's just getting better going against one of the best in the country right now at practice. So, you know, overall, really can't complain, and I'm just very happy, and looks like Coach is digging his feet in into this league and really understands what our team needed.
Sounds like he wants to rough it up a little bit, getting the big guys here you know, turning the Archers into, you know, a team that you're going to worry about when you go in there.
Yeah, I think we've shown a little bit of that. You know, I think we do have guys that can flip that switch. But, you know, back-to-back years, we've lost in the semifinals. And to get over that hump and beat the Whips based off the past couple of years, it's like you need some big bodies to go against Rambo and Zed. You know, and I think we fulfilled those needs. And our offense needed to poke a couple more in and have a couple extra threats. And we did that too. So, yeah, we'll be you know, digging our heels in and kind of flipping that switch all over the field this year. And, you know, can't be the nice guy when you get out on that field. If you're too nice, you're not going to win the game.
So you obviously have been the guy that's played in the MLL, the PLL. You went through the bubble the first year of the bubble, and now you're getting into the third year of the PLL. And, you know, pro lacrosse in general for you, is it something that you settle into? Is that something that Will Manny's now kind of the grizzly vet there, and he's settled in, and or does it still make you nervous? Is it still something that you have to get up for and you worry about?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say, you know, any type of when you think of nerves, I think it's just excitement. You know, playing in front of fans again will be cool. You'll get the little, you'll get some chills before that. But I truly believe in, you know, really doing the right thing as a guy on the team at, like, that has been through all that. You know, when we drafted all these guys, the first thing I did was text them and welcome them and say, if they need anything, let me know. And good luck with the rest of their seasons. And that's kind of, you know, my role off the field is to kind of make these guys feel comfortable. And I feel obligated to do that because that's what happened to me when I first got brought in. So regarding the nerves playing, no, I never get nervous playing anymore. Whether it's, you know, going into overtime, I feel like I've felt very comfortable going into overtime the past 3 or 4 years, you know, even more so, meaning I want the ball more, not so much to make a mistake. And then just bringing in the younger guys and doing those little things to make the team feel really comfortable is really special. You know, we were talking about it the other day as a staff here at Utah. It is a little different still, you know, with the 52-second shot clock, a smaller field. I think we are still adapting in a way, even though it's been 2 full seasons technically. So those little things, you know, I try to just think about before the game. We always get there really early, and I kind of go out on the field and just visualize and take some time to myself to, you know, breathe and get some shooting reps in and feel comfortable before the game so that the nerves are kind of just all excitement and I don't have to worry about anything.
You're out coaching at Utah, obviously, and that's something that that program is relatively new. But you know, the one thing is, from your standpoint, and I think that I've looked at in the past, has been, you know, certainly the UMass guy coming up. And were you the first UMass guy in the pros? I'm trying to think.
No, there's been a couple of Kevin Lavelle, Sean Morris, Jack Reed. There's been a in recent years, yeah, since those guys, Anthony Biscardi was one. You know, Jogo Godoy. There's been a we kind of bring up the rear of the, like, the top 15 of colleges that bring in pros kind of in a sneaky way. But, yeah, those guys were definitely before me.
Gotcha. So from Utah standpoint, you're out there coaching now. What do you like? You like coaching or you like playing? Is there one that you like better than the other? And I'll follow up with a question real quick so you can answer all at once, is how much better do you feel you get because you're coaching?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I've definitely gotten that over the past. You know, I've been coaching college across now since 2014, 2015, my first year at Wagner. So it's been a bunch of years. And I think, you know, to answer the last question first, I've gotten better every year over those seven years. And I definitely due to coaching, you know, just from X's and O's and being on the field every day and having the stick in my hand every day. Like, you know, if I go 2 or 3 days without having my stick in my hand, it feels weird. And that's just because, you know, of that muscle memory and kind of love for the game. So my game has risen. You know, I highly suggest if someone wants to, you know, really improve, especially in the game of lacrosse, and the way that the pro game is, you know, staying in it, and whether it's coaching club lacrosse and, you know, sound like I'm talking to the kids coming out of college right now. It's like, if you have an opportunity to stay full-time lacrosse, you know, and you want to be really good at pro, you got to commit to it. You can't take a desk job in New York City and expect to have all the time that you want to prepare your body and perform on the field. So, you know, it's definitely brought my game to a new level, and I'm going to try to continue to take it higher. Regarding coaching and playing, you know, I love playing, you know, and there's nothing better than knowing how much preparation you put in as a personal, you know, individual, you know, working out and shooting and, you know, taking care of your body and then going out on the Saturday performing and winning with your team, you know. So as a player, it definitely feels great. And as a coach, you know, it's almost just as good. You know, you have no real effect on the game once that whistle starts for your kids, but you know how much preparation and how much you've, you know, put into their minds and how hard you push them during the week, that when it comes to Saturday and you see them win and the smiles on their faces, that makes me just as happy. So it really is, you know, a dream come true for me to be able to do both and, you know, continue to move up the ranks in both aspects.
So, Will, we have this show is, you know, our second cup of coffee. We bring legends, you know, on of the game, and you're one of these playing legends at this point. And you know, that's a sheer respect for the history that you've done. Most of the guys that we have on here are done, you know, their careers are done. And obviously you're still thriving as you're, you know, and listen to you talk about your passion for the game and still playing is awesome. Just in a quick, we always love to hear the reflection of players. Like, you look back, you know, you played at St. Anthony's, you played with Tom, I believe, right? With Tom Schreiber there.
Yep.
And do you reflect back on looking back and say, you know, I played high school lacrosse. I was one of the best players. I played with one of the best players. I mean, St. Anthony's obviously an incredible history and program. And did that experience, like, set the foundation, you know, and how much of an impact was that on your – you talk about how you want the ball at the, you know, end of the game. You know, is that high school experience kind of laid that foundation for where you're at now?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Bear. And yeah, I've been very, very lucky through my lacrosse career of people that have had an impact on my, whether it's practice pace or ability or, you know, how much more I have to work. And, you know, I think it's starting from ground up, you know, it's definitely my parents. I think that's just the way my parents didn't play lacrosse or anything. They're from Queens and they moved to Long Island and got me into lacrosse as I was growing up. But, you know, their work ethic and their mindset is what was ingrained in me from the get-go. And then, yeah, when I got to high school, you know, I get there and I'm being coached by Doug Schreiber, you know, and I don't think anyone really understands what that truly means. You know, he was our freshman coach at St. Anthony's. We go 15-0. We were that good. So he got bumped up to the JV team with us. We go 15-0. So my first 2 years of high school, I didn't lose a game. And then he bumped up. So Tom was a year younger than me. So he played on JV with us as a freshman. And then when I was going into my junior year, you know, that was Mike Chanichuk was going to be a senior. I was going to be a junior. Tom Schreiber was going to be a sophomore. And, you know, I had guys like Dante Fantoni on my team. And, you know, our team was pretty stacked. And Coach Schreiber bumped up to varsity with us. And, you know, we go 15-2 that year. And then I think I went 15-3 or 15-2 my senior year. So throughout my college, my high school days, I didn't lose more than 7 games. And not only that as a team, you know, how great Coach Schreiber is as a coach of a team and how hard he could push you, but just personal development and not being afraid to be brutally honest and tell you what you need to work on and how to get to the next level. And then Bear, I'm sure you've heard Tom say it, you know, Doug's famous line is practice after practice. And that truly is getting 15 to 20 minutes after every day. You get it, you know, an extra 3 hours of work in a week, and that's gotten me to where I am, you know. So having Doug Schreiber and Coach Weiserich and Coach Chanichuk through my high school years is, looking back at it, yeah, it's, you don't know it in the moment until you really get to that college and pro level and you're like, damn, I was really prepared a lot more than some of these other guys. And then college, you know, I think I went exactly where I belonged, to UMass with Coach Canella, and, you know, going to a program where I was able to step in right away as a freshman and play for 4 years and, you know, win a conference championship, bring the team to the number one ranking in the country. And I accomplished there what almost everything I wanted to. You know, we got to the tournament once and lost to Colgate, but, you know, that is what it is. That stuff happens. But my college career was more than expected, honestly. You know, being a first-team All-American and a Wharton finalist, I never even thought of going to college. You know, I truly didn't. I realized I wanted to do that when I got there, but that was never really something I thought I could accomplish. And, you know, that program got me to that level. And then, you know, going to the pros, my experience going to the Cannons right off the bat. You know, I go to a team with Paul Rabil, Ryan Boyle, Matt Toske, Kyle Sweeney, Jordan Burke, and you know, I can go down the list and Steven Berger and
name,
you know,
dropper.
It gives me chills to really have the, Kevin Buchanan, you know, that had set the tone for me on, oh, like, this is what I got to do to, one, stay consistent and be in the lineup every week, how to lead and how to really take advantage of just being together one day a week. So, you know, it's an absolute roller coaster and, you know, can write a damn book about it, but I truly have been, and I always do look back and reflect and, you know, you guys know when you're with your buddies and, you know, a show like this, if you truly love lacrosse and you're deep involved and, you know, the bringing up the high school and the college stuff and your experience is, it comes up naturally. You know, you just bring up stupid stories and little tips that your coaches have brought up in the past because it just happens that way. And, you know, we always bust Grant's chops the past year and a half about that because he always goes, oh, Coach Tambo says this, Coach Tambo says that. And we're just like, Grant, like, all right, calm down. And, you know, he'll laugh about that. But we don't hate him for that, obviously. It's, we just bust his chops, but it just shows
how
much
hate him for
really,
other reasons. No, I'm just
it just shows how much he truly cares about that program and how much Coach Tambroni really has made an effect on him, you know? And so I know that was a long-winded answer, but that's how much it
means
to me.
Great. Or and again, you know, it's like one of those things where even myself at times I look back and I just look at, you know, my personal experiences and you start looking at the check boxes and you're like, wow, you know, like, and most of those check boxes are just the people that have been around you, you know, that you've been fortunate enough, you know, to be around. Like you said, Doug Schreiber. I mean, just listen to the list of names you said. You played for Doug Schreiber. You played for Greg Cannella. You played for John Tucker. You played for, you know, you just keep going down. Joe Spallina. Now you're with Chris Bates. And that's just, you know, and now you're coaching with Brian Holman. And you know, I'm sure there's going to be a day where you look back and you're like, wow, what a foundation, right? You know, what you can look back on. And that's not even mentioning all the auxiliary, you know, other opportunities you've probably had as well.
Yep.
Who has been, you mentioned, you know, Doug Schreiber talking about practice after practice. And I can attest that the last person off the field every time for the High Machine was Tommy Schreiber. I mean, there was no question there was going to be another 15, 20 minutes of shooting or something of that nature. But what are some of the other things that you've learned, whether it was from Coach Tucker or Spallina or any of these guys with Brian Holm, if you said that these two or three things I've learned from these guys are keys to success, what would they be?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I do have a personal notebook on all this stuff. And, you know, I definitely have to dig in deeper and commit to just doing that weekly with how much stuff I've been learning. You know, I'll start with Brian Holman. You know, I'll start currently. You know, one of my passions is to be a head coach, and one of my goals is to be a head coach one day. And the one thing that I've learned from Brian Holman that kind of is above all else, is it's one of our pillars here at Utah, is just be honest. You know, being brutally honest and bringing kids in and sitting them down and getting on the same page and don't let any of the BS linger. I think Brian Holman's the best at that in the country. You know, I have been around a lot of coaches in other programs, and I talk to my friends that coach at other programs, and that's just something that is so much more on a pedestal than anywhere else I've ever heard or seen. So being brutally honest with our kids is, and within the staff, you know, if we like something or don't like something, we put it out on the table, we hash it out, and we're over it. And get on the same page for our kids so it doesn't look like we're confused. So that's number one. You know, number two, it's not something that any of them have really said specifically, but I think it's a, like just a combination of what they've all shown me is, you know, you got to, one, you have to love the game, but as a coach, you got to teach your kids and get your kids in a spot where they truly love the game, you know, where they are practicing after practice. And, you know, Doug Schreiber and Joe Spallina are very similar in that way because, you know, Doug has Tom and Joe has Joey and his two boys and his girls. And, you know, all they do is play lacrosse. Anytime there's a free 30 minutes, they go outside and they're on the bounce back and they're shooting and they're playing with their brother and sisters in the backyard. And, you know, I am never as a coach going to hold back on kids playing different sports or whatnot, because I think that's important as well. But, you know, I want kids around me and teammates around me that love the game for the right reasons. And, you know, I've developed that sense and know how to identify somebody that doesn't. And I know how to also try to teach that and ingrain that into people and try to be that developer as well. Those would be my two.
Hey, well, I have a question based on something you said there. So, you know, you talked about what these coaches have instilled in you. Have you ever given thought about what you're instilling in these guys you're coaching now? And if so, what would they say about you as a coach? What are you really pushing in that you feel, or you want them to come away with?
Yeah. And that's a great question. And I, you know, hopefully one day I truly do hear it. I think I have an idea. You know, I think my passion is very high level. I think it's something that I try to keep at that point where it is unmatched. You know, sometimes having it too much, maybe more than my players at a certain point. You know, so if you were to ask and any of the Utah guys, and I think they would say Coach Manny is, if not the most passionate coach when it comes to practice and during games, you know, just rooting for our team and trying to get us better and not, you know, if we score a goal or we make a stop on defense and clear the ball, like I want our guys to celebrate. We celebrate everything. I celebrate everything. We get a stop on defense in the pros, I'm screaming down the other end, like, let's go. And we score, we celebrate hard. And, so I would say that, and yeah, I do try to, you know, I think should feel good. And it's kind of natural to think about that once in a while, to, you know, sit down on a Friday afternoon, like I'm going to do tonight on our last practice, and, you know, smile and say that we did everything this year that we could as a Utah program, and our kids got better. We were in some game. We won games, and, you know, to see our kids go out there one more time and play with passion at home on senior day is what put it full circle. And, you know, I know that they're going to play with passion, and that would be my number one thing that I think kids would say about me as a coach, for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. So let's talk about senior night day, you know, because not, you know, you're playing, I don't know, what's this team? I don't even remember the team's name you're playing, right? It's some, Bear, you know the team they're playing?
Well, just some schmuck team out of Pittsburgh.
This is great. I like this Bobby Moe conversation. So you guys looked at the film. We were chatting ahead of time, right, Will? And we were looking, you and I, and you said you looked at the film and you could tell that, you know, this team, Bear has, you know, touted and started and ran and coached and did everything he did down there. It looks like Bear's team, right? It's a mess.
I'm not going to say that.
I'm just trying to get some bulletin board material.
You're not getting that out of me. Bear has beaten me several times, and my roommate scored 11 goals on me, so I'm not saying anything.
Listen, I can tell you that Will and I probably have one of the most unique histories of competition player coach. I mean, Will has scored 5 goals against a machine team that lost in overtime. We lost in overtime when he was with the Cannons. We probably have had more one goal games than any other combo of coach player. But you know, if you go back, and this is something I want to talk to you about, Will, because I don't think we ever really had a chance to talk about this, just because nature of how things pan out. But
yeah,
I go back, and I always say there's a million games that I love winning the championship. I think anybody can say that. I mean, you win a championship, that's always going to be up there. And there's so many little victories, you know, here and there. You're like, wow, that was a turning point, or this or that. But one win that always stands out to me that I'm like, probably had the least amount of time invested, like, you know, as far as like everything. It's like, I go back and I say, we were handed a team, Double D and I, and then a Cork and those guys jumped in, you know, and it said, here. I looked at Double, I was like, we have no time to practice with this ML All-Star team. I was like, but what we do have is a bunch of guys that have a little chip on their shoulder. I was like, we have some Canadians that definitely have some chip on their shoulder. I was like, but we also have enough guys that we can virtually throw a different look at them every single quarter. And it's just one look for us. I was like, you know, we have Canadians all the first quarter. Let's just go straight Canadian, you know, two man stuff the first, you know, quarter. Second quarter, let's throw this at them. And then we went down the line. And at first it was kind of like one of those things, we sat in the locker room, for listeners that don't know, our practice gets rained out. So not only do we just have this eclectic group of guys, but we don't have a chance to even walk through all those sets. We're chalk talking them in the locker room because we have nowhere to, you know, practice. And then we get out in the game and we're down. And for our listeners that don't know, well, you know, the group of attack that we had in the fourth quarter, let's just say they weren't meeting the comeback. They weren't mounting the comeback.
Yeah.
So we go in, I think it was a man up, and we decided to ride out a little different, you know, the most effective group that we had all night. We left out, you know, on the field, and you're obviously out on the field. You obviously got left off the Team USA, and you're one of these guys that has the chip on your shoulder. What did that game, you know, what does that game mean to you in reflection, and just how you felt after, you know, scoring a game winner?
Yeah, that, and I'm with you, Bear. That really was one of the more special nights, you know. And you know, I remember, you know, in that fourth quarter, like 3 or 4 minutes in, they scored, and like you kind of turned around, and I remember looking at you and like giving you a head nod and like get us back in the game, like let's not fold over here, and you know, that was just such a special game for, I think, lacrosse in general. You know, the fans that were there, us winning the game. And then, you know, for me personally, it was a box checked off again. You know, it was just another lacrosse game for me that I didn't want to lose. And obviously there's an asterisk next to it because I truly believe that I was going to make that team at those tryouts. You know, I played some of the best lacrosse I couldn't have played better. And I was just doing my job, being a lefty attackman and putting the ball in the net. And, you know, if you were to ask half of that team, I think they would have said the same thing, that they thought I was going to be on that roster. So winning that game really, you know, I was really jacked up, to be able to, I don't know. It wasn't anything against anybody, but it was for me to just continue to show, like, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. And you know, to win the $10,000 too wasn't too shabby. But
right?
I think just being able to do that, you know, back in Boston when I was on the Lizards, having my parents there and doing it against the team that I just had recently got cut from, was, you know, that's what I never really say this about myself. I'm not like that kind of guy, but I think that's what being resilient and being a really good player does. You don't let any of that stuff bother you, and you kind of just play your game and let it come to you and attack everything with all you got. And, you know, I wasn't holding back that game, and you know, thankful for you to be able to put us back in that game and let us win.
But Will, I got to ask
you. No, and for our listeners that don't know, I mean, this is the 2018 All-Star Game, which you know, generally what ML did was they would pit the Team USA against Team you know MLL, and that, to that point, you know, Team MLL had never beaten Team USA. Matter of fact, I'm not sure any team on American soil had ever beat Team USA. You know, and maybe I could be wrong there, but at least that team never, that Team USA never lost a game. That was the only game they lost. And I, you know, I look back on it and say, you know what, I just love the fact that you scored that goal. You know, because out of all the players that we had on our team, I felt like you were by far the most, you know, one of the most deserving. Yeah. Probably could make an argument for Burnlore, but it might have been, you know, but the goalie position obviously is just so tight, you know, it's so tough.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think Burnlore is coming off a pretty, you know, fabulous season the year before, winning the championship. But anyways, it was just awesome. I loved every minute of that for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, how cool is this? You know, like, you couldn't even. It's a storyboard, you know, like you couldn't even write a movie like that. And, but anyways, you know, it was really a cool experience. And like you said, Boston, historic Harvard Stadium, what a cool place to do it in. And, so now, go ahead, Mike. I know you had something for,
I was just going to follow up a little bit because, you know, you said something there and it's, and Will, it's interesting because you don't hear that often, right? You don't hear, you know, when you think of a Will Manny getting cut from a team. You know, and it's kind of an interesting concept for a lot of people, and I get it, right? I mean, there's so much talent in lacrosse, and regardless of the reasons or why, how does that affect you? You said you were resilient, but have you had you ever been cut from a team prior to that?
I'm trying to think of, I don't know if I've ever been cut from a team.
Yeah.
I've been put on the B and C team over the A team. You know, I think back to my youth. I probably played two or three years of club lacrosse. You know, club lacrosse was on the rise when I was in middle school. It was mm-hmm. kind of just beginning. Long Island Express was just starting when I was in seventh and eighth grade. So I was kind of on the back end of having to do the club scene. And the first year of Long Island Express, I made the orange team, which was the A team. And again, I played well, did my job, had a great relationship with all my teammates. Tom Schreiber was on that team with me. And the next 2 years, I was on the blue team, which is the B team. And we beat them a couple of times throughout the summer. Like, so I've always been, you know, demoted or just kind of left off the higher tiered teams and just, I think when that happened back in, you know, middle school, I was up, you know, at that point, you know, you don't really understand what politics and all that bullshit's all about. So you kind of get upset and you feel like you're not good enough. And that's just not the case at all. So,
yeah.
You know, we tell our kids out here in Utah, like, no matter what team you're on, just get better. You're not at a point right now where you have to worry about college coaches anyway, you know, and, so for me, it was more so, you know, I always think back and reflect on that stuff and, you know, clearly has shown that no matter what happens, if you just keep playing and keep playing and keep working, like I am one of those guys that hasn't won a championship at the pro level yet. When that happens, I'm going to be on my hands and knees hysterically crying, like saying thank you, because that's all it takes is one, you know, and Bear, you alluded to that earlier and, you know, seeing how happy Marcus was when they first won that, when you guys won your first one there in Ohio is a feeling that I want. And no matter whether you're playing attack, a midfield, you're part of a team and you're having an impact no matter what is something that I keep continuing to teach our team at Utah, our club team out here in the Salt Lake Summit. And I just think that, as you get older, you guys know it's more so you do use those experiences to learn from in the past. And I'm continuing to do that day in and day out. And, you know, Coach Brian Holman actually said this story to our Utah team a couple of years ago, and it made me really happy that he recognized this is, you know, a lot of my whole pretty much at this point, still majority of my pro career was spent in Boston. And, you know, I got traded midweek right before the trade deadline in 2017, just randomly. I was getting a call and I thought they were going to ask me about somebody in a draft or whatnot. And I got traded to New York and I was in shock. I was like, wait, really? Like, I was the captain of the team for the past 3 years and leading scorer and the ex attackman. And, you know, I get traded. And then Joe Spallina calls me 10 minutes after and says, we got a game in 2 days versus Ohio. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to my sister's 21st birthday. I was supposed to be on bye week for the Cannons. I'm not going to my sister's birthday in Nashville with my family. I got to stay home and I got a game to play. And obviously I knew a lot of the guys on the Lizards and Rob and Paul and KU and Kyle and all those guys, but so that wasn't going to be hard for me, but it was more so like just emotionally, how am I going to feel like just not playing for the Cannons and, you know, being able to just get out there and play. And then I had the game winner that night I had a really good game versus Ohio and we won. Joe LoCascio hit a two bomb to win it. And, you know, Coach Holman told that story about being resilient and not letting that stuff affect you. And, you know, putting on the gear and just playing no matter what colors you're in is a special moment. And I just thinking back to it, all that stuff does come back from my past experiences and not worrying about who you're playing for, A team or B team. You just play the game of lacrosse and do the best you can for the whatever amount of time you're out there until the whistle blows.
Well, you might be one of the greatest guests we've ever had on this show. Cause I like the way you just expressed, who was the coach of Ohio when you guys won that game?
It was Bear, but
just you subtly
broke.
Come on. He's also beaten me plenty of times too. So this is nothing against Bear.
Don't back up now. Come on.
Listen, that two bomb from J-Lo was just, oh my Lord. Oh
yeah.
He can hammer it.
He
hammered that shot. I was like, oh, I can watch that on film like 30 times. Like, oh, good Lord.
He has such a clean stroke, man. He was a decorated player that was always under the radar, man. So,
oh, how we let his hands free right there, I'll never know. But it was not good. It was not good.
See, this is what I like to do, Will. Now he's gonna think about this all day. He's gonna go back. He's gonna watch that game again all weekend. It's gonna be boiling in him. This is great. This is what I love doing. This is a happy Friday.
Love it.
So, Will, you got senior day tomorrow, as you mentioned, and uniquely, you guys have like one grad student and maybe like one other senior or so, yeah, or a couple other seniors, yeah, not a whole lot of guys. And I know we're running long on the show, but I wanted to touch on, because I've been in this position where I inherited a club scenario at Wheeling Jesuit University when we started that program, and then you start getting recruits in, right? And it changes because the original group of guys that are in there, they didn't necessarily sign up for varsity lacrosse, you know, like, and they're great. They're always great guys, but the group, it looks like you get a ton of freshmen and some sophomores. That's your true, like, all right, we're doing this varsity thing now. How about these seniors? You know, like they've gone through this mix, you know, what has been that transformation and how they've handled it and how emotional will this day be for them?
Yeah, it's truly special every year, you know, and to start off, you know, these three seniors and then the grad student, you know, the three seniors that have been here since we were pretty much a club team. It's going to be really special. You know, I actually went to the bookstore yesterday and got these three little note cards, and I'm going to write all of them an individual letter and thank them for everything they've done for the program. And, you know, I think their leadership and the way that they've gone about their business exemplifies exactly what I'm going to say right now. Our team, you know, and we take tremendous pride in this as a staff and me personally. And, you know, I'll preface this with, you know, you're watching all these ESPNU games and you hear, you know, the announcers and everyone say they talk to the coaches and they're stressed out that they had to go on a plane and do this and travel, you know, for one game. Our team has traveled over 20,000 miles this spring. We had 9 away games, and we haven't had one positive COVID test. Our team has done a tremendous job off the field of taking care of themselves. We get tested 2 to 3 times a week. We traveled 80% of our season. We had 3 home games. And that's just due to the leadership and our seniors that have, you know, kind of steered this ship in the direction that Utah lacrosse is going. So tomorrow is going to be really special. John Rose, you know, from Georgia, he's the captain of the team this year. His younger brother is a sophomore. Steele Hedden is from Utah. He's a defenseman. You know, Dan Tracy is a UMass transfer. Sammy Joe Tracy, you know, one of UNC's lacrosse players in the recent years. It's her younger brother. He came over here 2 years ago and is doing his extra year. And then Harrison Nye, who is a grad transfer from Westminster right up the road. And they all bring something unique to the table, and they're all great kids. And I'm just very happy for them and thankful for them. And yeah, tomorrow's going to be a decorated day. It's an 11 a.m. game. It's going to be 75 and sunny, and we have fans now in Utah, so it's going to be a packed house. And, you know, like we just said, we're playing Bobby Moe, and we're 2 running and gun style teams, and it's going to be a hell of a lacrosse game. So hopefully everyone can tune in.
So, Will, with that being said, it has – this game has some other storylines to it, and the fact that this is the first time you got Jimmy Perkins, who's done the Bobby Moe to Utah to Bobby Moe. So
yeah.
seeing Jimmy tomorrow for his 7th season – how is that interaction post game? I mean, obviously you don't, you know, you respect him as a player, but like he helped, you know, he came there, he helped, you know, the program out, and now he's back home. And we know lacrosse is bigger than games at times, but how does that conversation go?
Yeah, it's going to be good to see him. You know, I'm very happy for Jimmy, and we had a really good relationship, and you know, I think it'll be better if we beat and when we beat Bobby Moe.
there you go.
Compared, because I coach the defense at Utah now, and you know it's not going to be great if he scores 5 or 6 on us and rides like a banshee like he normally does. So I might have to give him the cold shoulder if that happens and Bobby Moe wins. But
right.
I'll be talking to him. You know, I respect Jimmy, and you know, he's from Pittsburgh and ended up going back there, which, you know, we didn't know he was going to do, but it ended up happening. But, you know, he gets to play lacrosse again. He's home, he's working, he's doing well, and very happy for him. You know, sure. I love Jimmy, and just, I'm looking forward to seeing him, and, you know, it's going to be fun coaching against him. You know, they have a really good team, and him and Ryan Smith are absolute weapons together, and, you know, unpredictable at times. So, you know, telling our guys to, you know, have some fun and play fundamentally is really important. And yeah, I'm just excited for our team. And,
yeah,
you know, yes, it will be cool to see Jimmy for sure.
And this also kicks off the new conference in some degree, right?
Yeah.
You guys will be in conference with Bobby Moe. So that would be cool to see, get a little preview of what the conference might look like there.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've been plugging that away a little bit to the team, saying let's make it the conference championship today or tomorrow. Sorry. So yeah, all good stuff happening at Utah lacrosse. That's for sure.
Well, Will, I'd love to sit here and bring up some more stuff to irritate Bear, but I think you got to go. I mean, we've had you on longer than I told you we were going to have you on, but it was a great conversation, and I enjoyed chatting with you and enjoyed listening to what you had to say. And certainly, I look forward to watching the archers on the field this summer. It should be interesting now that you know, you and Grant are going to have some time together, right? I mean, Grant will be on right after you. That's why I bring him up. But you'll have time together. I mean, last time you kind of came on there last year, right? And it was a little bit of a hurry up and go kind of thing.
Yeah, we're super excited. And as I was listening to you talk there, I totally forgot to talk about that we got Fieldsy too. So shout out to Connor. So pumped to play in a 2-man game with you, brother. We're gonna ball out.
You guys are looking.
Guys, I was looking at that roster. It's like so many weapons, man. Holy smokes! And we'll talk about this with Grant, but it's like he's like, you know, it's a pro you know, the pro defenses, you know, they don't slide as much. You know, I'm like, Grant, with all due respect, who the hell do you slide from?
Yeah, I know.
Two of the best feeders and so many great finishers. It's like, it's a defensive coordinator's nightmare, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's not that they don't want to put in slide packages. It's just a matter of, you know, how, you know, silly it is to slide at times, you know?
Yeah. You got to pick your poison for sure. And, you know, we were on a Zoom the other night and seeing all of our offensive guys' faces, I was like, damn, this is going to be fun. And I'm pumped to have training camp together, you know, and then that kind of leads right into week one in Boston. So yeah, it's going to be great to travel again, get a week off to take care of our bodies and get better each week. And very excited to get back to a regular scheduled calendar year for pro lacrosse.
Well, Will, awesome. Again, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow. And if you know, as you said, when you beat Bobby Moe, we'll have you back on. You and Bear can chat a little bit. But in the meantime, have a good one. It's a big day for you and the team tomorrow. So enjoy it. And then we'll see you on the field in the summer, man.
Yep. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate what you guys are doing. And yeah, always fun to talk lax and the glory days and moving forward. So I appreciate that very much. And go Utes.
All right. Here we go.
We'll see you, buddy.
See you, Bear.
There you go, Bear. So we just waiting. Here we go. And on the phone with us now is the one, the only, Grant Hammond. Hey, Grant, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, please. Thanks for coming on. I mean, you were the one guest that I wanted. Bear didn't want you. I wanted you because I wanted to talk to you. But Bear, you know, he's not a Penn State guy. He's from Pittsburgh. He gave, you know, RMU, but no Penn State, he said. No Penn State players. Right, Bear?
That is a false statement. That's what he does. Grant, that's what he does. He always tries to make me the bad guy, which is fine. I got broad shoulders. I can take it. I have no issues with Penn State. I'm all for it. I'm all for him. Grant, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I'm just hanging in there, chomping at the bit to get to training camp. So my own training's starting to ramp up a little bit. And it's been the longest off season I've ever had. So I'm kind of going nuts over here.
Yeah, talk to me about that, right? Because this is new to you, isn't it? It's relatively new. Usually you had you were either Penn State, because last year was your first year. So now this is really your first year without any kind of defined training, I guess is the best way to put it, right? Because you've got to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually been a really, really good learning process for me. I'm still very closely working with my strength and conditioning coach at Penn State. I'm using some GPS data and some other types of heart rate data to really be able to track it and plan and get a feel for it. I think I've got a good feel for it at this point. But over the past 2 months, it's been kind of a testing phase on how do we make sure that I'm feeling my best on game days. And they have a pretty good system in place at Penn State. In terms of their goals, with one, numbers that they're going to hit, but two, you know, kind of themes on when to push and when to pull back and stuff like that. So, you know, it's been a great learning process for me, and I'm hoping that the stuff that I'm learning with, the data that I'm using and stuff like that, that it's going to hopefully be able to share it at some point and be able to help, some other pros be able to train. More just intelligently, I think training, I'm a big guy. I'm a guy that believes in training, smarter, not harder. And making sure that I'm not overdoing things. I've dealt with some stress fractures in the past. So, you know, trying to avoid any nagging injuries, which tend to be from overuse, for me, at least from my history.
So you did you seek anyone's advice in the league to talk about this, or are you going this on your own here? By the way, I do want to talk a little technology because it's fat. You piqued my interest a little bit. First question is, did you talk to anyone to kind of figure out how to go about this?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to a few guys, and I'm a systems guy. So if you give me a plan, you know, I'll follow it pretty closely. And I just had such a I credit my strength and conditioning coach at Penn State, Matt Dorn. He really One helped me kind of fall in love with the weight room and that grind. I think I kind of found a passion with him and through him because he's so passionate about it. But two, you know, I credit a lot of Penn State's success on the field to what was done in the weight room and in the off season. You know, it's very sports science based, very scientific, and you know, everything's calculated and everything has a plan to it. So, you know, being able to kind of just trust him. And then I also have a physical therapist, you know, for any nagging injuries that I may have, to be able to kind of complement one another. And then, you know, as for my on-field training, you know, I've talked to certain guys that the unfortunate thing is there really isn't a set, way quite yet. You know, you look at basketball, you know, MJ kind of set the standard in terms of what it meant to train. And, you know, you had guys that followed, pretty closely, but, with lacrosse, there's really no, you know, rhyme or reason for the way that a lot of guys train. And, for me, I just know that one, I'm more motivated when I have a set calendar and a set plan, but yeah. Two, you know, there's a reason why basketball, football, you know, those sports, why their training strategies, you know, there aren't that many differences between, you know, the top guys. You know, they may have a different trainer, there may be a few different beliefs, but in terms of what they're doing, you know, they're using all this stuff and they're more sports science based now than ever. It just hasn't really reached lacrosse yet. So, you know, I'm trying to replicate, you know, different field use and, yep. and stuff like that. And I've been working with some local Philly guys, some veterans in the league, just getting on field with them, getting some reps with them. But a lot of it's on my own, and it's been a pretty cool learning experience because in college, you know, you have your teammates to get you out of bed. Yeah. But once you graduate, it's all on you. So it's been a good learning experience for me to kind of take ownership of that and, mm-hmm. and figure it out for myself.
So you're training up not training up a storm, right? You're training smart, as you said. Is this yeah. is this like proprietary stuff that you're talking about? Is this stuff that Penn State's using that no one else is using? Is this something that may go, you know?
Yeah, so it's called Catapult. It's Catapult okay. system, and I think there are like 10 college teams that use it. So I know Penn State uses it. I know the University of Denver uses it, and I'm not sure quite the other ones. But basically, the way that it works with specifically with Penn State is, you know, each day had a theme. So, you know, Mondays are more moderate days. They're more skill based. You know, Tuesdays. For me right now are more physical therapy and conditioning days. Wednesdays are more of a turn up the volume and get your work in. Thursdays are off, and then Fridays are a quick burst to get ready for Saturday. So I'm used to that schedule, and I love that schedule because it gives me a task every day on what I'm focusing on. And then obviously there's lifting and physical therapy that obviously complements and helps with the progression on the field as well. So, it's pretty interesting stuff, a little bit higher than my pay. I couldn't tell you why it works. but I just follow the system and trust in it and believe in it.
So you have your own physical therapist?
Yes. I do.
Man, you're doing well. See what happens when you get into the pros? Own physical therapist. It's high tech. No, I think it's interesting because I always wonder, you know, it's tough to be on your own, right? And start to really exercise when you're used to having people push you, like you said, getting you out of bed every morning. So I'm always curious as to hear how that goes. You know, the draft has come along and gone. And what's your take on the Archers picks? I mean, you certainly got a beast from an LSM.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Connors is, I've played against and with him, you know, for years, and his ability to cover, he's just so long. Like he just takes up so much space. And when you think you have a step on him, he catches right back up. So I think he's going to come in and make an immediate impact for us. And I think him pairing with Scott Ratliff, you know, Scott's one of the best leaders that I've ever played with. And I think, you know, if nothing else, Scott's going to kind of teach him how to be a pro and take him under his wing. And I think that's one of the cool things. I think, you know, Tom and Marcus and Will did that with me last year, and, you know, still do it till this day. So I think it's going to be a good combination. And then, you know, you look at Trey, I've played against him for a little bit now, and he can shoot the crap out of the ball. So, he'll be great with Tom and on that righty wing and that two man game and that, and our pairs. And then, you know, Jeff Traynor is just a do it all guy, and kind of reminds me of Christian Mazone, kind of similar playing style, can go from O to D, D to O. And, you know, if you watch UMass, he never comes off the field. So he's a workhorse, and that guy's always good to have. And then face off, obviously, you know, Fowler getting, picked up by the Cannons. You know, obviously we only have Bones. So right now it's pretty cool because in every position there's depth, and that normally encourages some good competition at training camp, which, the best normally rise to the top with that. So it'll be fun. It'll be a competitive training camp. And I think we're just really excited to see each other again and strap it up again.
So Grant, with watching college lacrosse this year and seeing all that's going on, and you not being a part of it, you know, obviously it's a strange spring for you probably in many ways. Mm-hmm. What are some of your thoughts? Like, who do you see coming down the wire here, and who are some of the players that have impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, Jared Bernhardt is hands down, without a doubt, the best player in the country right now. I mean, he's just uncoverable. Like, there's not a defender in the country that's hung with him. And, you know, people argue, well, he's just playing in the Big Ten, put him in the ACC. His straight line speed is just unmatched. And, you know, I think that's a reason why he's going to play football. And that's a reason why I'm not betting against him to be able to make it to the NFL. So, you know, he's really just, he's come along and he's kind of been, I don't want to say more selfish this year, but I think he's understood his power a little bit, and he's used it more. Cause I always think he's been a great player. You know, obviously Mike at Duke, for anybody who thinks like he's had an off year, you know, he's playing in a new system. He's playing with, you know, teammates who really didn't move for him for the first like 8 games of the year. You know, in the way that the Princeton guys really cut for Mike, and they're, you know, the off ball play, at Duke they weren't quite moving as violently as I think he was getting at Princeton. And then, you know, you also look at it, you know, he's playing ACC defenders every week, and, you know, I give all the credit to him for everything, that he's done, but, you know, the ACC is a tough conference to play in. I mean, he's playing against, he goes against a first team All-American in practice every day. It's definitely grueling on the body. So, you know, those two are my favorite two to watch. And in terms of, you know, Tewaraton finalists. But then, you know, obviously love watching the PSU boys and, watching Mac, watching TJ, watching Foldy and those guys. But, it's been a fun college lacrosse year, to watch for me. Cause it's the first time I've been able to kind of just sit back and enjoy it and not necessarily have a competitive edge in it. It's been fun for me to be able to do that. Another one, Little Kavanaugh is just, he's unbelievable. He's a gamer. He's gritty. I love the way that he plays. He plays with his head up and has some phenomenal vision, and, clearly, he's not afraid to play in big moments. So, not surprising, knowing who his brother is. But, you know, he's been really, really, really impressive, in my opinion.
So you leave college, you step in, and it's a unique pro season. I mean, you know, it's really unique in the sense that, you know, the league was still fairly new. Obviously, a ton of guys have played pro lacrosse for a long period of time, but not quite in this environment. You know, I kind of looked at last summer and I said, look, most of these guys have not done this kind of style of lacrosse other than maybe the World Games. But as we know, the World Games, some of the teams aren't as good as others, whereas this is completely different where everyone is great. But the reality of it is you may have not have seen anything like this since you were in high school and going to a summer mm-hmm. camp where you saw this wave of many of games, you know, over a period of time. you know, generally there's a learning curve, you know, with players. They come in, they play a weekend, they see the speed, or they come into training camp. This was like a complete emerge. You know, you're in, you have to play shorter field, faster action. What was your thoughts after like that first practice, and walk us through your mindset of how you were going to be able to be successful as you were, and the transformation?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's you know, obviously I was pretty nervous going into day one, but I tell everybody this. Tom Schreiber called me when I got picked up, and he said, you know, if I could give myself one piece of advice when I was a rookie, it would be to play with confidence. He's like, Coach Bates selected you for a reason. He believes in you. We all believe in you. But if you don't believe in yourself and you don't play with the confidence that you should, you know, that's when you don't produce the way that you want. And that was the best piece of advice I think he could have given me there, because it is intimidating, you know, playing with Tom Schreiber or playing with Marcus Holmer, playing with Will Manning. I mean, these are the guys that I, you know, grew up watching, and you know, it can be intimidating. But you know, I think it really was. Everybody asked, they're like, what's the difference? I'm like, it's a shorter field, the shot clock's a little bit shorter, and everybody is, you know, a little bit more skilled. But in terms of college lacrosse, you know, I think people are going to be surprised this year with the rookie impact and the young guy impact, because I think college lacrosse right now is just at such an outstandingly high level that it really prepared. Like, I really didn't see a difference in terms of true talent. You know, I think we played a strong enough schedule, specifically with Penn State, and you know, we're in so many different types of games where, you know, we were in different strategy and stuff like that. And I think people are going to be surprised this year how quickly, you know, Sowers and Teat and Walker and Docs and all these guys, how quickly they're going to take over. And I think the cool thing is this draft class this year, this is the future of the league right here. Yeah. And I think you're going to start seeing those veterans start to fizzle out, and those rookies to kind of come in and really start to take over.
Do you think this is it? Do you think this is the turnover? You got a lot of guys in the league still that have been in, you know, whether it's MLL or PLL, and played for a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this is like that next group, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there hasn't been a group since, in terms of a dominant draft class, in a few years, and that includes the one last year. I mean, besides you know, Brian, myself, and Reese Eddy, you know, there were no rookies that really stood, you know, started and got good play time and stuff like that. So you know, I think this year, I mean, I look at everybody asked me, like, what are your thoughts on the draft? Like, every team got a full standard deviation better. And that's fact. You know, there's still so many guys that weren't drafted in college that are all Americans. Like, it's that idea in itself is crazy to me. And, you know, a lot of these guys there's some really good players out there, and some of the best players, you know, I look at, Docs specifically. I look at Docs, Ethan Walker, Jeff T, and Michael Sowers. Those are the four of the best players I've ever played with or against. And I've been on some pretty crazy fields with a lot of talent around me. And you know, to be able to say that is pretty astonishing. And oh, by the way, two teams have two of those players. So you know, I think it's gonna be pretty fun. And you know, this is where I think, you know, you're going to see some crazy stuff this summer in terms of talent and athleticism on the field.
Yeah, without question. And also looking at your just glancing through your roster, obviously a lot of former players of mine with the Ohio Machine, some great guys in here. I'm looking at like where and when we picked up some of these guys, and it's what those spots don't exist anymore. Like, no. That's what I think. No. People have to realize is that where some of these guys snuck into the rosters, that, you know, pro rosters, and the fifth, six round. I mean, I'm looking at Jackson Place. He's undrafted right now in this year's draft because the round that he got picked in. You're looking at, you know, Mazzone, who I probably mistakenly didn't dress, you know, just because it was tight, you know. Now he's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dominique Alexander. Just going through the list of these guys, like Mark McNeil is probably a supplemental draft guy. Ryan Ambler, who it's like, and now it's just so hard to make a roster. And once you get mm-hmm. in there, it's just so loaded. I applaud, you know, the fact that you think this next group coming in is going to be the wave, and I hope it is, certainly for pro lacrosse. And I just also look at it and say, what a shame for some guys that, you know, the fifth rounders of the day back in the day just aren't going to be an option. They're no longer a thing. It's a very interesting times.
Yeah. It is crazy when you think about it, right? You think about these guys and you know, Grant brought it up, and now you, Bear, all these guys that are going to be sitting on the sidelines again. I mean, keep in mind, you know, even the people that are drafted, there's going to be a lot of players that aren't playing there either. You know, they're going to be tough to crack a lineup. So, The talent in lacrosse right now is you know, I look at it as you got the it was interesting. That's why I followed up with the question, Grant, about do you think this is a new wave? Because it seems like the old guard, I'll use that affectionately, the old guard is either retiring or moving on, or you're seeing the new guys come in and play over them or play with them and sharing time. And it's kind of an interesting transition from a pro lacrosse standpoint, because you're in that, you know, you're in that period where you're starting to see this changeover and the depth, right? We've talked about the depth where you've got players that are you know, positions 2-3 deep now, and it's very interesting to see this sport grow. And if you look at it closely, and I Grant, sounds like you certainly study the game beyond just playing it. You're seeing this, mm-hmm. right? You're seeing the depth mm-hmm. become crazy. You know, is it time for more teams? Bear has a team. It's called the Outsiders Lacrosse Club.
I mean, obviously, you could clearly make one other team, but that's a little bit higher than my pay grade in terms of you know, what's available salaries wise and stuff like that. So
it's above all of our pay grade.
There's a little bit more that goes into it, but yes, I do, but. I also think right now, specifically with the PLL, it's exactly what's needed, because you're going to have stories. Like, you're going to have, oh, this guy didn't even get to dress, right? You have people giving opinions based off of this. And if we know anything about pro sports, the top pro sports, the people are the most opinionated. You know, you go on and you see Stephen A. Smith blabbing about something with the NBA every single morning. You know, that's obviously our goal, is to be able to have guys that want to talk about us and that want to talk about, you know, whose contract is not being renewed, or who's not dressing on game day, or something along those lines. And you know, being able to have that. And the other thing is, you know, there's everybody's arguing, you know, there are MLL guys that are undrafted, there are college guys. Unfortunately, that's how sports work. And, you know, I think it's a great sign of the sport that we have people complaining that certain guys aren't making it, or we have guys that are so driven to get picked up on the team that they're working out two times a day, every day. You know, it shows great health in our sport in terms of how much guys actually care. And I think you're going to start seeing, you know, the guys who don't take it serious, you know, it's probably doesn't have to be 365 days a year, but you know, you've got to, if you aren't lifting, if you aren't running, if you aren't on the field, if you aren't doing these things, you're not going to play, and it's going to catch up to you pretty quickly. And I think with the MLL in the old days, there were a few guys that did it, but now you're seeing this transition of PLL guys that it's the standard. It's the standard that we train like pro athletes, and we train to be our best on game day. And I think it's a pretty cool time to be a part of. And I think I'm really benefiting in terms of my timing and when I was able to get in the league, obviously with the start of the league and you know, where it's continuing to climb. And You know, there's no doubt in my mind that it'll just continue to grow. And, you know, we just need guys that are willing to work hard and put a good product on the field.
I think, you know, one of the things I you brought up was just starting to talk and, you know, having the pundits, if you will, guys like Bear and I sitting here and questioning every move and questioning everything that's going on and, you know, bringing up controversial stuff to spice it up a little bit. I don't think we're there yet in lacrosse, but I do believe we're getting there. We're starting to see more stuff.
100%.
Yep, you know, we're starting to hear people jaw about it. There's a lot more, certainly on the social side of things, social media side of things. But you're starting to see it pop up into mainstream too, and you're starting to hear about different players. And I think that's a positive. You know, I had, when I was at MLL and I did MLL radio, I was always told, and the name, I'll keep the name private, David Gross, that I should be more, we should be more controversial. We should bring more controversy to the league, which I understood and I didn't understand, right? He was trying to spark a little bit of, you know, talk about the league. But there was so much to talk about the league with the athletes and the play. And I was like, so you want me to try and dig something up? How about you give it to me? Because I think it's, you already know what you want me to say. So those kinds of things, though, do, as negative as they can be at times, it's that old adage, I guess, right? There's no such thing as bad press. I mean, at some point you want to get out there and hear this stuff and hear, you know, Premier Lacrosse League in the news for whatever. And it, it brings attention to it. So it's interesting. But I want to shift gears. Grant, I want to shift gears a little bit. Are you a football guy?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm an Eagles fan, right? So Eagles. Last year wasn't too fun.
So are you, what are you looking for tonight? You got the big draft, the other draft, the secondary draft. We had the big draft earlier. This is the secondary draft.
Yeah, thank you're the only person in America that's saying that.
It's true.
I'm really indifferent. Obviously, we need some weapons around Jalen, and Jalen needs an O-line that's going to be willing to protect him. So, you know, I'm hoping we get something, but we're not really in a position to do anything too crazy unless something happens with tonight. But you know, I think it's I'm hopeful. I really do like Jalen Hurts. I think he's a competitor, and I love how he's just a grinder. And I got a number one Jalen Hurts jersey for my birthday. So I really do like him. I like his attitude. I like what he's about. I like Miles Sanders. Obviously was in school with him. So, you know, it's, I think we have some pieces. It's just being able to surround them with the right guys to complement them. Cause, you know, football is the ultimate team sport. And if you have one guy that doesn't do his job, you're not going to win a ball game.
Yeah. Bears, the other, Pennsylvania team. He's a big Steelers fan. I see him wearing his Steelers garb all the time. I unfortunately have a crappy team that I've been with since 1969. I can tell you the day that I started, it was the Super Bowl, the New York Jets, and we have done nothing since. So I'm sure, yeah, my
roommate in college was a Jets fan. It was always fun watching him suffer on Sunday.
But you know what's even more so is you sit there and you get all excited, right? You're sitting here for the draft. You're waiting for the move. I know they're going to disappoint me. That's the sad part of a Jet fan. You sit here and you know there's going to be – it doesn't matter. They're going to disappoint. We had Marino. We had Kelly. We picked O'Brien. I mean, it's just the way the Jets are. And you have to accept it. And you have to love them because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Barry? You're a Pittsburgh fan. You go through some of that.
He has a few rings to his name. He has nothing to complain about.
We do okay. I think we're going to get to see hopefully the swan song of Big Ben, and we'll put some pieces around him to watch them be where they need to be, back in the Super Bowl.
I think we saw the swan song of Big Ben about 10 years ago, but okay.
Maybe. That's probably true. So, Grant, let's just flash forward here to this summer. come at the end of the summer, you guys made it to the semifinal, fell a little short, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now you got the whole summer to develop in a little bit different, different atmosphere as far as, you know, the way the season can go. So if you had to make two or three bold predictions on this summer in the PLL, what would they be?
This is going to be locker room stuff. I can feel it.
I feel like Grant's been coached through this a little bit better than that.
You think?
Yeah.
Listens to our show anyway, Grant, so you can say whatever you want. Okay?
I think you are going to see more close games than ever this summer. I think every team is able to do something really special, and I think obviously I'm biased towards my team, but in terms of the whole league, I really do think it's going to be, I don't think there are going to be many games, above a 4 or 5 goal differential. Last year we had a few of those games. Like I don't see it happening. I think there's too much talent in the league, and there's too many guys that care a lot about the sport. And, I think in years past, you've had teams kind of roll over and die. And, I just don't think that's going to happen. I look at the way that the Atlas drafted and kind of Coach Rubio's vision of recreating a locker room and creating a good culture. And I respect it a lot. I just in terms of the two bottom teams, I mean, the Water Dogs got arguably one of the best attackmen to ever play college lacrosse. And arguably one of the best shooters to ever play college lacrosse, as well as, getting Eli in their locker room. He's a great locker room guy, and he's going to make a big difference for them. And he'll be suiting up alongside Chris Sabia, one of my good buddies. So I think you're going to see more than ever. You're going to see these close games because the talent pool just continues to grow. But I also think you're going to see more game strategy go into it. I would say my second one is you're going to see more game strategy go into it, and we're going to be a little bit more strategic in the way that we're playing things and not necessarily just letting things fly a little bit. I think it's a run-and-gun type league, but I think you're going to see teams be more like the Whip Snakes and be a little bit more methodical in their approach. And lastly, I think you're going to see the end of pro MLL defense. If that makes sense, I think every team is going to be able to have a slide package, be able to do things on defense that play as a team. I think the Redwoods are known for it, but I think every team has a strong enough defense where, it's going to be a true scouting report. We're going to know, what slide packages they're using. We're going to know, who's better on ball, who's better off ball and stuff like that. But I think you're going to see, offense develop a little bit more and less of those unassisted goals, that I think you saw going against some certain teams last year that just, didn't have slides and didn't play as a team. And, I think you're going to see it, pretty quickly. Which is fun for me as an offensive player because it's going to force me to kind of expand my arsenal a little bit and play more mental games than just physical.
All right, so that's good. I like that. I like
when he starts off like that, Grant, you got to watch out. Something's coming.
I know. I'm just looking at – he said close games, so I'm looking at last year's scores. I'm looking at 13-9, and I'm looking at 11-10. 11-10, 7-9, 11-12, 12-13.
I would say 7-8. I would say
I just don't know how you can get any closer. They have half a points in these games next year or what? I mean, last year.
I think you're going to see one or two goal games. But also, I would argue that a lot of those games were fourth quarter, end of game, team down by 4 or 5, scoring 2 goals to come back.
Well, if we want to
get a little deeper into it, I just think there's going to be more competition in the league. Like I remember the the whip snakes just pummeling teams in the beginning there. And it to the scoreboard, I guess it may have not shown, but you know, they pummeled teams last year, and it wasn't even close.
So like, you're saying it's coming. Whip snakes will not run away with the league this year.
I think they're going to be good. I mean, they're going to be great. I'm not saying that they aren't going to run away with it. I'd be dumb to say that. I mean, I've played this game too long to write teams off. But I think you're just going to see more teams like the Whipsnakes. I mean, listen, I have nothing but respect for those guys. They clearly play an egoless offense, egoless defense, and they just play together and they want one thing, and that's a ring. And I respect that. And I think you're going to see more teams kind of take that mantra and kind of play more into that type of system as opposed to your typical pro lacrosse, which is just ISO dodges. Which is what I think we've seen over the first 2 years, but I think there's going to be more systems in place and more strategy in place that's going to allow for better competition. I guess I should have said there would be better competition because I don't think scoreboard always shows that. But you know, I think better overall defenses, offenses. There's going to be more strategy that goes into it because you have to have more strategy with the talent that you have around you.
Listen, Grant, don't let this guy rattle you. He tries to rattle it. All of a sudden, he comes alive at the end of the show.
Hey, the PLL guys try to make us say plenty of things. So don't. I'm totally fine with it. I'll give you a question. What are your thoughts on those three takes?
Well, I think that I believe when you talk about the defense of the old ML, obviously I coached in the league, so I have a little different perspective. I think what you see is when you say the Redwoods, obviously, you know, Nat was on our staff and Nat was his first, you know, understudy was under, you know, Tom Mariano, which, you know, I think when we came into the league, when Coach Mariano and myself took over the machine, we just really honestly had never coached in the pros before. So just took some different unique looks at, you know, some things. And what you saw was a lot more sliding happening. And some of the things that we're doing, we're sliding to people's offhand. Like if you were dodging, if you were righty and you're dodging down the alley lefty, we were sliding and we were sticking you. We're staying on the double because we knew you probably would not be able to make that skip pass with your offhand. And I really credit, you know, Coach Mariano for coming up with some of those philosophies and just different unique, you know, takes on it. And, you know, Nat then took over and even further, you know, developed and worked with our defense. And obviously, you know, we've made two championship games. So
there's a commercial for the machine, Grant, in case you were wondering what was going on.
I'm just saying, a lot of these guys that you mentioned are machine guys. So I'm just saying. But anyways.
Yeah. Well, I play with a few of them. So I get
it. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I agree. I agree with you. You know, this defense is going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's a difference. You can hear it on the field. There's a difference between teams because you can hear how loud a defense is talking, and that is the difference. I think that the collaboration of defenses on field is going to join a ship. There were a few teams last year where it was like you clearly knew that their defenses did not know what they were doing, and they weren't connected as a unit.
Right.
As a unit, I think every team has individual players, but I think as a cohesive unit, that's where you're going to see more communication, more time slides, more things like that, which in my opinion is really only done consistently at the college level thus far, because you have coaches that force you to do it because you drill it every single day in practice. But I think guys are going to start taking more ownership with that, and I think it's really cool because you're going to see more defensive battles rather than just, you know, offensive type focus games.
So if I can sum Grant,
I'm not done, Mike.
No, I got to sum up his points. I think he just said that the Archers are going to crush the Whipsnakes. That's what I heard.
Right? He'd see what he does. See what he does, Grant. I'll play devil's advocate for you, Grant, and I'll leave you with this. I'm looking at your guys' roster, and I know a lot of these guys. Who do you slide from? I'm just sitting there like saying, I'm not sliding from anybody. I was like, which makes it really difficult because you know yourself, Tommy, I'd even say, are probably about as precision, as far as feeders as it gets. And I think that's what makes it so deadly. Then you got Marcus and Will and Ryan's got such a good mix, and you just go through the whole list and you're like, wow, these guys, who do you slide from? Like, who? I don't want to slide mm-hmm. from anybody. So that's where guys get confused because they know they're kind of damned mm-hmm. if you do, damned if you don't, scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's honestly my expectation. I mean, my expectation going to year two is they're going to force me to be a scorer. And, that's something that I had done to me in college. So, I'm fully prepared for that. But to your point, that's where that strategy comes in. So, maybe it is, slide to Grant every single time he goes to his left. Or maybe it is, certain things. But I think you're going to see start seeing more of that. And in my opinion, college defenses still are just so buttoned up in the way that they, I look at the Maryland defense slide progression and they're just so buttoned up every single time. Every single time it's calculated. There's a recovery, there's a two, and that's obviously Jesse Bernhardt coaching them up there. It's fun to be a part of because it's, as you can probably hear it in my voice, I'm passionate about this stuff and I'm passionate about moving the pro game to be better defense than the college game and harder to score and harder to get to the net. One-on-one defense is great, but I think, team defense, learning how to beat a team defense is just such a rewarding process. And it also makes it a little bit more legit. There's going to be hard film study. There's going to be different things that we're picking up. And if you look at any major sports league, that's when, there's a reason why Tom Brady's so good at what he does is because he can read defenses. He learned all this stuff and defenses challenged him. I'm sure if you ask him and he'll say, this defense made me a lot better. This defense gave me problems, and things like that. And I think learning that and experiencing that is just going to help elevate, my game and help elevate, my experience and education with the sport.
Well, I think you've hit on a lot here, Grant, and I'm not going to summarize anything. I'm not going to bring the whip snakes into comment again. Do you think that's why the whip snakes were played so well, though, because they were essentially Maryland, right? I mean, a lot of the players came from Maryland. Do you think that helped them?
Yeah. I mean, it on defense, if you ask anybody, you play together with a group for multiple years. It's pretty easy to communicate.
Yeah.
Offensively, obviously, the chemistry helps. I look at the way that they play and it's so simple. They're a hit singles team. Very similar to Maryland's. And they're a team that doesn't beat themselves. And mm-hmm. that in Coach Stagnita's leadership to be able to continuously do that. And, you also look at their leaders. One was an assistant coach for Penn State, John Hawes. He's a guy that sets the tone. He's a captain for them, but he'll pass up a 12-yard shot any day of the week if somebody's open for one more. And I think they have their top guys that set the example, and then the younger guys or the not so seasoned vets kind of just fall into place. And it's very similar to playing Maryland. It's very very because I've played them just so many times, and it's very very similar. But at the end of the day, when you have Zed Williams and Matt Rambo on an attack line, they're pretty good. So at some point, some of the stuff that they do, and some of the stuff that every team do, Coach Tambroni would always say that, sometimes you just got to tip the cap. Sometimes, there's just talented players that are on the other end of the ball.
Well, I think the Archers have a few talented players too, so I think we can make that argument
too. I think so. I think so too. I think our defense training camp's going to be physical. That's for sure. I'll be bringing maybe an extra arm guard or two, because considering we don't have a defenseman below 6'4" this year. Yeah.
Well, listen, Grant.
It'll be fun, Grant.
We appreciate you coming on and chatting with us. It was fun talking to you, and hopefully we can get you on during the season, see how everything's going, and and I'll talk to Bear before I'll tell him not to give you a hard time and stuff. He's
Oh jeez, Bear Davis. Oh, geez. Grant, I love watching you play. It's been fun watching you play and all through college and even last year, and love seeing you mix it up and your just dedication to the game and is outstanding, and even the pro, just listening to you talk about your excitement for pro lacrosse is exactly what, you know, pro lacrosse needs. You know, we need guys like you that have that care and want to see it go to the next level, and helps us keep doing our show.
Gives us something to talk about.
Not a problem at all. Thank you guys for having me on, and Bear, whenever you need a debate guy, I'll hop in for you.
Beautiful.
I can be my college friends know, I can be very, very, very opinionated when it comes to lacrosse. So I'm happy to do it.
Oh, you two are cut out of the same cloth. This would be a great. We ought to pick a topic and have you guys go back and forth with that one. So, well, Grant, listen again.
Our next topic will be Robert Morris, Penn State history. And budget for budget, toe-to-toe.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I was on the sideline for the loss.
I was just going to say, we won't talk about it now. We'll save it for another show.
I was on the sideline for the one loss. The next year, I think we did pretty good, though. I don't know, though.
Oh, you did. You rebounded. They rebounded.
I think it was a school. I think it might have been a school record. It looked like a football score.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Whoa! Are you talking about the time that we beat them 24-17, or was it the time you guys beat up? You're probably just a baby. You're probably just a middle schooler when we did that. That was a long time ago.
That was also when Penn State was practically a club team.
Here we go.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to break you guys
one
up.
We'll have on the next
this
show.
Is what
the
Grant,
next show.
Grant, this is what happens. We have guests on, and then usually Bear pisses them off at some point. We never get them on again. So I'm going to break this up before it goes down.
It's all good. It's all good. The only team that I didn't have success against in college was Yale, but TD is to thank for that. I'll leave it at that. I'm pretty pissed I didn't get him on my team. I'll say that.
he's pretty special.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. But yeah, no, I love the banter. Like I said, I think the banter is fun. I think it makes it a little bit. It's hilarious looking at it that we're just debating old history of lacrosse. Exactly. I'm hoping there's more banter we can have in the future.
Absolutely. Grant, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Grant.
Appreciate you coming on.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Right. And on the phone with us now is the one, the only, Grant Hammond.
Welcome to the Lax Worm and Coach Bear Show.